Today is March 22nd, and you are with us as we go to the Bible for the answers. Welcome, everyone, to Let the Bible Speak. It is our honor to be able to be with you, and we hope and pray that you have paper and pencil ready to write down answers to the questions that you are going to call in today. This is a live broadcast, and it is our honor to be able to be with you as we go to the Bible for the answers. The voice line, if you want to call in your question right now, is 308-9564. We have an operator standing by here for your questions. Again, that voice line number is 308-9564. You set the topic. You set the theme. But God is the one going to give the answers. We make no apology for that because you don't want to listen to us. You want to hear what God has to say. After all, when we stand before God in judgment one day, it will not be based upon what some slick-tongued person on the radio may say. It'll be based upon what God says that we will be judged by. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 makes that very clear. And so we want to make certain that you have the answers to the questions on concerning life and godliness because they're all found in God's Word. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 lets us know through the knowledge of Him, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. So let's go to the Bible for the answers. We'll go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that you call in. There's one line available right now, 308-9564. Now, if you have you'd rather text us, you can do that as well. If you have a cell phone and you want to text in your question, we have a number for that. All of these numbers are area code 843. The text line is 725-9283. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you have people that are in other areas of the world and you want them to join us for this program, they can join us in a couple of ways. One, they can go to our website, which is www.biblealone.com, and they can hit the live stream button and be on air with us right now. They can hear the program anywhere in the world. Or if they have a smartphone, they can download an app called TuneIn Radio and thus be able to find the radio station, which is WJNI.com, and WJNI, and that's 106.3, and they also can be live with us on today's broadcast. So if you have friends and relatives in other parts of the world, go ahead and let them know right now, and they can join us for these studies, and they too can call in their questions as well. Again, the voice line is 308-9564. That is the voice line. They can call in their question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. We have our first question, and so we're going to go to that in just a second. We want you to know we're glad to be in your service, and we hope and pray that as we go to the Bible, you will find the answers that God wants you to have. One more time, the voice line is available, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We are very, very happy to be with you today, and we are glad that you have joined us. And we're here to look at what God's Word says to us. And as Ricky has already indicated, you guys really don't want to know what our opinion is. You want to know what the Bible says. You know, it's interesting that this program is not just about the Bible, but it is about Jesus. What Jesus said, what Jesus did, what Jesus has done for us. And we're going to be looking at what He said, what His will was, and that's all that we really need to be worried about. A lot of questions come across our mind. A lot of questions come across the air from your calls, and we will always want to be looking at what does the Bible say about it. And so as we go through this radio program, we're going to look at your questions, and we have made a promise to our God a long time ago when we became Christians that we would only speak that which is the oracles of God, that which we can find in the Scriptures, because that is the only place that you can have genuine faith. Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you know, we're all going to stand before God in judgment, and what we're going to be doing then is we're going to have to give an account for what we've done, what we've said, and what we have thought. And all of those areas that I just mentioned are potential areas that we can sin in. And so we're going to have to give an account for the things that we've done and said and had in our thoughts. Jesus is the only answer for our sin. He died so that we might have eternal life. And what he says is that which will prepare us for that judgment. So call us up at 308-9564. Give us your Bible question, or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the questions that you have on your heart. And we have one just right now, Ricky.
Yes, we have Irvin Green calling in this question. He wants to know, what does the Bible say about cremation? Well, it does not say anything about creation, cremation. It doesn't say anything about how we are to be leaving this life. And there's a number of ways that people are recorded as dying in the Bible, from the earth opening up to being burned to having their head cut off as John the Baptist, Jesus on the cross, many other ways in which people have left this life. But there is not a recommendation on any of those on how we are supposed to take care of the body once we leave it behind. Matter of fact, with that said, let me also point out to you that everything is going to be cremated one day. And that is in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 9, talking about the judgment day. Let me just go ahead to verse 10. It says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the works of the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Therefore, since all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness? And so he's exhorting us to get ready for the day that when we will leave this body behind, because what's going to be left? It says, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God. So if we're prepared, that day when we leave this body behind will be a day of victory, because what's left behind, it says, because of the which is the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. So, Irvin, we can know that everything left behind is going to be cremated. It's all going to be destroyed with the fiery judgment of God. So it's all going to burn. Everything you see, taste, touch, everything you look into the sky, the heavens will be on fire. They will be dissolved. Everything that we call this universe is going to be destroyed on that day when the Lord returns. So he exhorts us in verse 11, what manner of persons ought we to be in holy conduct and godliness? There's what we should be concerned with, getting things right before that day comes. And there is nothing to prevent that day from occurring right now. So we ought to be ready. When? Yeah, right now. And thus we'll be able to, that day will be a victory to us. And so that's why it's so important. Now stay tuned as we go throughout this broadcast. No doubt some of the questions will lead us to what to do to prepare for that great and notable day. And we don't want to leave that one out as well. So hopefully you can stay tuned. And we sure do appreciate your question, appreciate your calling in and participating in today's broadcast. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's the number to call for your question to be answered. Go ahead and call right now. That is the voice line. Or you can text us at 725-9283.
You know, when you think about burial or cremation, that's no difficulty or challenge with God, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says in verse 53, for this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so we will be resurrected. We will have a spiritual body, whatever that might be, whatever, however that looks. So however one is buried really is of no concern to God. He can resurrect our body, and then we will meet the Lord in judgment. And as Ricky said, that verse 11 in 2 Peter 3 is of major concern. Sometimes we get all concerned about things that, you know, don't really make any difference, but what really is going to make a difference is whether or not we're ready to meet our God.
Thank you so much. We sure do appreciate it very much, and we hope and pray that's been helpful to you. We have another caller calling in this question. Their question is, this was a text question from the last three digits of 113. They want to know, is all temptation sin? Well, caller, I don't know your name, but I just want you to know that temptation is not a sin. Temptation is something we as people actually are bombarded with by the evil one. Jesus was bombarded with temptation as he went out into the wilderness. If you read Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, you will see where Jesus was tempted of the devil during those 40 days, and three of those temptations are recorded there. What's most important is to know how we respond to those temptations. He, Jesus, responded to the temptation with scripture. He gave the answer, or he combated that temptation with the Word of God. All three times, Jesus said, "It is written." And so that's the way we should overcome it as well. Now, concerning temptation, you might also want to look in James chapter 1, beginning with verse 13, which says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I'm tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone." So let's put that to rest to begin with. That is, God does not tempt man to sin. Well, then where does it come from? Well, let's read on. Now we're reading James 1 and verse 14. "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust." So those are our desires, our own lust. "And then enticed," that's what the devil does. He puts the temptation out there in front of her as an enticement. "Then when desire is conceived," that is, we mentally go through the process of yielding to that temptation, "it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." And so there is the step-by-step process by which we end up sinning from the temptation. The temptation is not the sin. It is when we yield to that sin and pursue it. That's when we sin against God. And sin is transgression of the law. That's what sin is. When we go beyond what God wants of us, desires of us, then that's when we are going beyond what God says, and that is sin. Thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it. Again, you are a frequent texter of your questions. And we are so honored that you have desired to know what the Bible says, and you're to be commended in this. Please, please continue, and also enroll in the course if you have not. And talking about that, we want to encourage everyone, if you've never received the Bible Correspondence Course, we'll be glad to send this to you free of charge. The number to get this course in the mail to you is 553-5157. And by the way, if you've never studied through this, you will discover things in God's Word that you may have never seen before. And you get more out of it when you're studying for yourself. So don't miss out on this. It is absolutely free. The only thing you have to lose is sin. So let's get rid of it. Let's find out what God calls sin so that we can turn away from those things and then receive the eternal blessings in heaven. Again, that number is 553-5157 for the free Bible Correspondence Course, and you can enroll in that right now. Now, if you've already got the course, you've been your longtime listener, continue with your questions. 308-9564 is the voice line. We'll be right back.
We are glad that you have joined us today. Maybe you just sat down and turned on your radio. We are so grateful and thankful for that, and it is such a joy and pleasure to be with you and to share this with you. We don't see your face, and of course you don't see ours too, which I'm sure you are grateful for. But we can share God's riches over the airwaves and over the phone, and so we are just really happy to do that. We are told by God in 1 Peter 3 and verse 18 to always be ready to give an answer of the hope that's within us, yet with meekness and in fear. And it is our task, our goal, our pleasure to obey that passage and to give you a reason of the hope that is within us. And, of course, that hope is based upon the Scriptures. And the reason is found in the pages of the Bible. And we pray that we do that with gentleness and meekness. Meekness and fear depends on what translation you're reading, what those two words suggest. But it does mean a certain kind of attitude and disposition that we really pray that is that comes across on the microphone. And so we appreciate so much your being able to be with us. If you'd like to participate in the program, 308-9564 is the number here at the station. If you want to text us, 725-9283 is that number. And as you've just heard, the number that you would like to dial for a Bible correspondence course, a free Bible correspondence course, is 553-5157. I don't know how many hundreds of people have taken this course throughout the Tri-County area, and they have enjoyed it, have benefited from it, 3,000, Ricky said. And so that gives you an idea of how useful this tool can be. And as we've talked about earlier in the program about Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you know when Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free"? You may know what he was talking about. He was talking about just looking at the truth only, the Bible only, not filter through any man's teaching, not filter through any church's doctrine, not piecemeal through any kind of wishes or thoughts of our own, not man's wisdom, but purely and simply the truth of the gospel. Now, that's got to be refreshing. That has got to be freeing, as Jesus said. It will free you from all things that would keep you from being what God wants you to be. And so please take advantage of that Bible correspondence course. We'll talk more about it through the program, and we encourage you to kind of write down that number, 553-5157, so that you can call that at any time during this program and sign up for that course, and we surely invite you to do that. So please join us today. Take advantage of these numbers, 308-9564, or text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have Leon calling in this question. His question is more about semantics as far as a name. If J is only 500 years old, how do we get J from Hebrew, Jesus, from Yeshua? Well, again, that's a language question rather than the meaning. You look and you see what the Bible says from the very beginning when Jesus was told, when Jesus was to be born. Yeshua, if you want to speak it in Hebrew, the name sounds entirely. How does it sound in Russian, Steve?
Isusa.
And so Spanish, there's a different etymology there, and on every language would have its different as far as the way it is pronounced. And so when you look into English, most translations translate it as Jesus. But rather than semantics of how to say the name, what's important is who he is and how that we should respect him. He's the Messiah, the beginning, the end, the Alpha and the Omega, that he is Lord and Master. He's our high priest. He is Jehovah. He is Jehovah Nissi, that you can't separate Jesus and the Father or the Holy Spirit in that they are one, even though there are three persons. And so we should not get stumbled over language or how to pronounce, but rather have the kind of meaning that God intended for us to have toward him. In Matthew chapter 28, whether you want to refer to him as Yeshua, Joshua, Jesus, or the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said, "All power is given to me, all honor should be given to me in heaven and on earth." He's the one that we should be listening to, and he's the one that has all authority. And so that's what we should be concerned with rather than necessarily the semantics or having discussions over such as that. So hopefully that is helpful to you, Leon. We should be listening to him and showing reverence to him in every way, in every language on the face of the earth. It would be, I don't know how many thousands of languages there are, but that Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, as I'm speaking poor English anyway, that is the one that we should be listening to, because he is our Lord, and he's going to be the one that tells us where to spend eternity. Thank you so much. We sure do appreciate it. Hopefully that's helpful to you. There's a lot more that could be said. There's well over 100 different names and designations and titles that Jesus is referred to throughout the Bible, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament. He's also referred to as the Word in our service this morning. There was a connection to the Word and how that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so there's much more to be said about that. And so we should be concerned about who he is with reference to obeying him rather than just the semantics associated with his name. Thank you so much for your question. Again, the number is 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have a question from Ben. Ben's a longtime caller and listener. We appreciate him so much. He's got a question about Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. I'll give you some time to find that and turn there. Amos is one of the minor prophets. It's a few chapters long, and so sometimes it's kind of, you kind of flip past that real quickly. But the passage that he has in mind is really interesting. It says, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" And so he asks, who are the two that God is referring to? Well, as always, it's necessary to look at context. And so we're going to begin in verse 1, and this is the message that God wants Amos to give to Israel. He addresses it to Israel, and he says, "Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying." So this is the message of God to sinful Israel. He says, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together unless they are agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has caught nothing? Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth when there is no trap for it? Will a snare spring up from the earth if it has caught nothing at all? If a trumpet is blown in a city, will not the people be afraid? If there is a calamity in a city, will the Lord not have done it? Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants the prophets. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy?" So this is an announcement of a judgment against sinful Israel. The two walking together would be God and Israel. Can the two walk together unless they be agreed? Obviously they didn't agree. And they weren't walking together. Israel had left God. And so, Ben, we appreciate so much that question, and we appreciate so much your listening through all these years, and we pray that you have benefited and learned much about God's Word as we share together our Bible study here over the phones.
Okay, we have a caller standing by. I believe we have Leon standing by. I guess he wants more discussion of the name of Jesus. Are you there? It'll take us.
Yes, I am.
Okay, yes. How can we help you?
Okay, you know, and he said,
What's your question?
"This is my name forever."
Now, give me your question,
this
please.
"This is my remembrance to all generations," Exodus 3:15. Then has that changed from Yahushua to Jesus? Well, Jesus came into existence 500 years ago, and it's not a Greek word, it's not a Latin word, it's a Hebrew word. Now, if they didn't have a J in the dictionary then why is it that you put a J in there now?
Okay,
now, you said don't change nothing, don't change no nothing. You go to Revelation 22, and it tells us 22:18, where it says you have to change anything.
Leon.
So then, why is it that we have changed it from Yeshua, or Yahweh, or the pronunciation that you are anyone else will put on it. Why should it be chained to Jesus?
Thank you so much for your question. We will deal with that right now. And thank you again for calling in. We appreciate it. We are, again, we'll answer that question again in just a second. We're going to go ahead and go to break and come back to that in just a moment. And so we appreciate Leon and all of you that are calling in, and we hope and pray that you are being blessed and by going to the Bible for all these answers. And so if you have another question, go ahead and call in. The lines are available, 308-9564. That's 308-9564. We'll be back to that question in just a moment. We are back live now, and we hope and pray that you are benefiting from the program today. We'll go to the Bible for the answer, where there are Bible answers. Many times there's a question that may come in that there's really not a book, chapter, and verse answer as far as the question may come, but we will do our best, if there is a Bible answer, to give you book, chapter, and verse on that. Before the break, we had a question about the name of Jesus and actually the Hebrew language versus the English language and English translations. They want to know why Yeshua was translated as to Jesus. And so, Steve, you want to answer it this time?
I'll take a stab at it. When you look at Exodus 3:15, I think that was the passage that Leon was mentioning to us. It says that moreover, God said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and then this is memorial to all generations." The first thing that comes to my mind is that he is distinguishing God from all the other heathen idolatries and idols of that day. And so he distinguishes the God he's talking about. Which God is that? Not the God of the moon, not the God of the sun, not the gods of Egypt, which is where Moses was about to go, where Moses had been brought up. But the God that he was going to be talking about was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That's his name forever. Not Baal, not Moloch, not Merodach, but God of Abraham. And I think that's the essence of what he's really talking about. And so that could be translated in all kinds of different languages to mean different things. God in Russian is Bog. And so are we misusing the name Bog, even though it's in a Russian language? It still means the same thing. And that's, I think, the important thing for us to appreciate about Jehovah or Yeshua or Jesus or Jacob. It is still the same name. It's just in different languages.
Yeah, and the J literally was attached to there from the German language. You know, Jehovah is German. If it were translated into English, it would be Yahweh or Yahshua or Yoshiah and many other deviations ways in which that is translated. And so we sure appreciate Leon for that and pointing that out. And so we're just going to try to speak in English, in plain English, and Southern English, so that there are no misunderstandings, because we do not want to have any kind of confusion whatsoever. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tells us that all things be done unto edification. And so if we speak in a different language, they will not understand. And so that was the whole purpose of the abuse of tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So we're going to try to speak clearly. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, 1 Corinthians 14:33. And so if we're going to be his servants, then we need to be clear too.
You know, in Acts chapter 2, when they spoke in different tongues, they would have used different words, different pronunciations.
Yes.
But it communicated exactly what was intended.
Yes.
And so I think that's, again, what we got to come back to.
The wonderful works of God.
Right. And the salvation under no other name. And it's not a certain name. It's Jesus, the Son of God, the mediator between God and man.
Exactly right. Depending on the language is the way it would sound. So thank you so much, Leon. We appreciate that very much. Again, the number, if you have a question, we have one line available, 308-9564, 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak to the question on your mind. We have this text question. They want to know, what is the meaning of sin not leading to death in 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 and 17? So let's read that first, 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. The paragraph actually starts back in verse 14. when it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That is, we saints, those are that belong to him. And if we know him, that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have our have the petition that we ask of him. If, and whenever you see the word if, you have to pay attention to that. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit a sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death, and I do not say he should pray about that. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. And so here he's talking about the idea of someone that dies in the process of sin, and thus they never repent or in the process of repenting, they do not do that. And of course, that will lead to death. The word death, all sin and come short of the glory of God, and that the wage of sin is death. So every sin leads to death, but if we continue in that sin, then we will remain in that death. And so this sin leading to death would be those that will not repent. Jesus says, or do not repent. And Luke 13:3, repent or you shall all likewise perish. Acts 17 and verse 11, if I'm not mistaken.
30 and 31.
30 and 31, yes, there we go. That God is going to judge and that all those who do not repent will receive that judgment. So repentance is absolutely necessary. And so that's what would cause one to be in death versus not in death. Well, in other words, we got to repent. We've got to turn our life over to him, do it his way, seek his forgiveness on his conditions, and we will receive the life that only he can give. Let me remind you one more time of Romans 6, verse 23. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through or in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thank you so much. We sure do appreciate that. That's from the phone number 113, the last three digits. Again, the number, if you have a question, you can call us right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. That is the voice line. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283.
As we look at these questions from throughout this program, again, we will really make an effort to go to the Bible and try to find the answer in the Scriptures. And as we do that, we invite you to study along with us. We invite you to have an open Bible and a pen and pencil or paper or whatever, because as we go through these things, it might raise a question in your mind, and that would be an easy way for you to remember it. And if you're call the station and the phone's kind of busy, well, just hang on, because it will pick up. And so if you write the question down, then you won't forget it, and that will be helpful to you, and that'll be helpful to us. And we'd also invite you to think about your question, and when you do call in, if you do call it in, have that question written down or formulated. That will make it a lot easier for the person who answers the phone to get your question in. And so if you just give him, when he picks up, and give that question immediately, then you can get that he can get that written down, he can bring it in to us, and he can hang up the phone so others can call. So we ask your help with that, with us, for us, as we go through this program. Jesus says something very interesting in John 6:44 and 45 when he says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. And that's what we want to try to get across in our program here each and every Sunday, is that we want to draw people to God. And Jesus says that will come as people have learned, as they've heard, and as they've been taught. And so that's why we use this medium to study the Bible with you. And we encourage you to participate, ask your questions, Even if we get stumped by it, that's no problem. That's kind of a help to us, matter of fact, because it causes us to study deeper into God's Word, and that is always a blessing to us. So give us a call, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will let the Bible speak.
We are honored to be able to be of your service, and we hope and pray that the things that we direct you to in God's Word will be of great service to you. We thank you for your participation, and we honor you as you desire to know the truth. It will be that truth that will set us free. There's another designation for the Lord there, that he said, I am truth, the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Word, Logos, in John chapter 1. And so many other designations for our Lord, and he deserves them all, those that are describing him and his glory. And we should make certain that we do our best to know the Lord. Matter of fact, we're under an actual warning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, to you who are troubled, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, taking vengeance on those who know not God and those who that obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we should know who he is and explore the many, many facets of who he is and try our best to understand his majestic natures, and that we might be able to apply these things and learn to appreciate him that way. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call 308. Both lines are available, 308-9564. That's the voice line. If you would rather, you can text us at 725-9283. Either way, you can join us right now, and we will go to the Bible for the answers, and we will let the Bible speak. Again, the voice line is 308-9564. So we're about to take a break. We want you to know, while we are at break, we are happy to be of service to send you this Bible correspondence course. Did you know that you will gain 10 times more from a study of God's Word by yourself than you would ever get from listening to us on the radio? Let us send this course to you absolutely free. It is a course where you get it in the mail, you take it, you study, you look up all the verses, and see those things for yourself. And in the process of doing research and studying those things, you will learn truths that you very well may not be hearing week after week from the pulpit where you go to church. Because most denominations are restricted from revealing the whole truth, especially those things that do not fit into their denominational doctrine, and thus, those very things may keep us from going to heaven. I'm not saying all of them would, but there are things that are missing that are not being taught. Everyone here at the studio here today has also been bewildered by such as that in times past, and that we were not receiving the whole truth. And so we are so interested in making certain that you do not have to go through what we went through, and that is to spend years with blinders on, not knowing the whole truth of what God expects of us. So why don't you begin your journey to find the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help us God, and he will, if we will just get into the Word. Go ahead and call 553-5157. That is 553-5157 right now, and get that correspondence course on its way to you. You very well may discover truth that you have never seen before, and some of those things may keep us from going to heaven one day. Again, for the Bible correspondence course, it is 553-5157, and we will be glad to send that to you. And we will, if you have a question, although both lines are available right now, go ahead and you can text us at 725-9283. But keep your questions coming in, and we will keep the Bible courses going out in the mail to you even this week. We'll be right back. We are back live now, and we hope you take advantage of that course. It is absolutely free. We're happy to send it to you in the mail. There's no charge for it, nor will you ever be charged. Matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to say something that you never hear on the radio. Please do not send us your tithes and offerings. please put away your checkbooks. Do not send us your money. Let us send you treasure that will last an eternity. Now, gold and silver, that's going to burn on the day of judgment. Our houses, everything that is made out of substance is going to burn. However, the treasure that will never be taken away from us is what we want to give you. That is the treasure in heaven. So why not get that on its way to you by studying God's Word for yourself? Go ahead and enroll in the correspondence course. You've got nothing to lose. It is absolutely free. That number is 553-5157. And thus you will be able to get into the Bible and see the answers for yourself. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So, yeah, let's find out and establish our faith based upon what God says. He's the one that matters the most of all. So let's get that information to you, and we'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free. One more time, that number is 553-5157. Now, if you have any kind of question, just call right now. The lines are available, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Steve?
Yes, Leon has called back again, and this time he has a question about John 5 and verse 43, and how does this change his name to Jesus? I'm not sure the connection between the question and the verse, but the verse says in John 5, 43, I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. Well, and if you look at the Gospel of John closely, you'll see in numerous passages where Jesus talks about what he is doing and what he is saying is based upon the authority of God, the teaching of God. Let me give you some examples of that. In John 7, verse 16, Jesus therefore answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. If any man's willing to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. That tells us that God and Jesus taught the same thing, and Jesus was sent by God to be his messenger, to be his prophet, to be his redeemer, his mediator between God and man. And these verses in John illustrate the idea that he came by the will of his Father. He didn't come to bring some independent teaching, but he and the Father agreed. And then there's an interesting passage in John 8 where Jesus talks to the Jews, and they make a big deal about they are Abraham's offspring. You know that passage you hear quoted a lot in John 8, 32, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then after that, the Jews said, we are Abraham's offspring and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you shall become free? And so here's an example of people using a name associated with Abraham that they thought meant something just by the use of the name. And here's what Jesus says about that, and this is really interesting. Truly, truly, I say to you, this is verse 34, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. And then verse 36, he repeats again, if therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Then verse 37, I know that you are Abraham's offspring, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. And so what Jesus tries to get them to see there is that using Abraham's name, having significance because they are descendants of Abraham, didn't mean anything if they weren't obeying the will of God. And Jesus said, I come in my Father's name. Now let's look at one more passage in Matthew chapter 7 that I hope will help us kind of think about what the implications of this word name means. Jesus says in Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, that's one of those other names, one of the 100 names that is used of Jesus in the Bible. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So what we learn from those verses is calling Jesus Lord, which obviously would be a glory and honor to him, doesn't make any difference if we're not doing the will of the Father. And I think that's the thing that we see Jesus saying here, and that's what he was saying in the Gospel of John, that his will and the Father's will are the same, and that's the important thing. Just saying Lord, Lord is not going to mean anything. And so however we pronounce it, whatever language we borrow it from, the essence is, am I doing what he says? Am I doing the will of the Father? And that's where we need to focus our attention and back on the Word of God. So, Leon, I appreciate you bringing that question up in John chapter 5, and I hope it helps get us all focused upon the will of God in doing that. And so I appreciate so much your attention to that detail, and hopefully it will help everybody as we try to do and focus upon the will of God. So give us a call here, 308-9564, or text us at 725-9283.
Yes, we have Irvin calling back this question. He wants to know, says, what did Jesus do after he was tempted by Satan? Well, we'll find that in Luke's account after Jesus went through the 40 days of temptation. It says in Luke chapter 4, verses 14, then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. And one of the things we find out, when he went to his hometown, they tried to destroy him. They took him out to throw him off of the cliff on the edge of the city, and he escaped from their hands. And so that's when he started his ministry and started teaching everywhere he went. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate that very much. Let me go ahead and get Thomas's question. Thomas's question is, what is the difference between eternal death and eternal life according to the Bible? Well, Matthew 25 and verse 46 shows that comparison there. The very last verse of Matthew 25, he goes through and gives several parables, judgment parables, that is, parables where someone is to go to heaven and are to go to punishment. And in verse 46, it says, and these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And so this would be the eternal existence in the end, when the days as we know it have come to an end. The righteous will receive eternal life. Those that have not been righteous by God's righteousness, that is, the only way that we can become righteous is for God himself to bestow it upon us by the forgiveness of sins, by the blood of the Son of God. And then we become righteous because of his grace, his gift, and that's what gives us eternal life with him. Not that we earned it. It is the gift that God gives. It is a conditional gift that we must do his word. We must love him, show that love by obedience to him. Thank you, Thomas. We sure do appreciate that very much. Just read the whole chapter of Matthew 25, and you'll get the flavor there of what God does expect of us. And so we want you to be able to be prepared for that day as well. And so what we want to do is to encourage you in that. If you have a question, just go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That's 308-9564. It's time for us to take, wow, an hour's already gone. So if you have a question, go ahead and call right now. We've got one-third of the program left, so you call right now, 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. One more time, we want to let you know about this correspondence course. It is free. We are glad to send it to you. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, you may discover things you've never seen before by studying the Bible for yourself, because that's how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by, the Word of God. So let's find the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth that will set us free. You can look at it like a court of law. They want the truth to reign in a court of law, and they swear people in, with peculiar enough, with their hand on a Bible, to get the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Well, why not have the truth now as far as what God, who wrote the Bible, wants us to live by? Let's find the truth now. Isn't it interesting when you look and you see all these people make fun of religion and the Bible, saying, what is truth anyway? Because there's, is it your truth, their truth, or whose truth? Well, there is only one truth, and it's in the Bible. The problem is people are not following the Bible. They've got blinders on. They've got their denominational box that they must live within in order to remain in that denominational box. Ladies and gentlemen, let's remove those blinders. Let's see the answers, the truth for ourselves as we study God's Word. There's no reason to be ignorant. On Judgment Day, I didn't know will not work. Just like it doesn't work in a court of law today, it will not work then either. So let's find the truth. Let us study God's Word and find the answers. Go ahead and call. Get this course to you. 553-5157. We'll be right back. And we are serious about that course. If you would like to enroll in that, don't miss out on that. We'll be glad to get it in the mail to you even this week. Most churches are restricted from telling the whole truth because they have to remain within their denominational parameters. By the way, something we have failed to do is you can actually download the course absolutely free from our website. And our website is contains a number of articles and resources that may help you in your Bible study. If you would like to go there, the website is www.biblealone.com, www.biblealone.com, and you can download those resources absolutely free. We're happy to send those to you, and so don't miss out on that. One more time, that website is www.biblealone.com, and you can get the course. You can get many resources along that line. Everything we offer is free, so don't think that we're trying to bait and switch or anything like that. We never accept any donations by anyone outside. It is our honor to share with you the riches that the Lord has given us in this program, and all the resources are paid for by saints that live in the work in the Goose Creek area, and we are happy to make these things available to you. And so a small group there that we are bound and determined to carry on God's mission like he wants us to. And so don't miss out on getting this Bible course to you. You can call 553-5157 and get that on the way to you even this week. So thank you so much for those of y'all that have participated thus far. Keep the questions coming in. 308-9564. Both lines are now available. 308-9564, and we'll let the Bible speak. Steve?
We have a question from David, and David has a question about, can I take my tithe and use it for other church things? Well, David, I want to rest your mind about a very important aspect of this question, and that is that tithes are not necessary under the new covenant. They are not commanded by Jesus nor the apostles for us to give. In fact, the only New Testament references, that is, references in the New Testament where the word tithing is used, it's always used either of an historical event that happened even before the law of Moses, in Hebrews chapter 7, that's with Abraham giving tithes to Melchizedek, and it's used in Matthew chapter 23 where Jesus, who was raised as a Jew and lived as a Jew and died as a Jew, still under living under the Old Testament, mentioned the tithing of the Pharisees in Matthew 23 in verse 23. Well, Jesus came, and he came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the new covenant. And the new covenant tells us that we are no longer under that covenant. In fact, in Colossians chapter 2, it says that Jesus, when he died upon the cross, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So notice this wiping out of the handwriting of requirements. It says that it was against us and said that he nailed it to the cross. Well, what's he talking about? Well, verse 16 tells us, so let no one judge you in food or drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. And so the danger of going back under this handwriting of requirements today is mentioned in Galatians 5:4 that says all those who seek to be justified by the keeping of the law have fallen from grace. And so as regards this tithing, it's not a requirement of the new covenant. And you might say, well, then how does the church get money? Well, good question. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul tells us how that is to happen. It's to happen by the free will offering of each of the members to give as they've prospered. So if you got your New Testament handy, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, in verse 2 particularly it says, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside. Notice it didn't say an amount, didn't say a tithe. It just says lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And so that's very important. And then one other passage that I think is very, very pertinent to read, and that's 2 Corinthians chapter 6 through 8. Well, notice in verse 7 particularly, because I want you to think about this verse as you think about what popularly is done in churches today about this idea of tithing and the pressure that is put upon people to give. Notice in 2 Corinthians 9, 7, it says, so let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not according to the church budget, not according to what the pastor says, not according to the deacons or anything like that, but as you purpose in your heart. Then notice this, not grudgingly. You got to watch your attitude when you give. Or of necessity. Well, you know, I can't leave here. They won't open the doors unless they get more money. That's not the reason why a person gives, not according to the New Testament. So don't let anybody put you in that position to do something against the Scriptures. Isn't it kind of interesting and kind of ironic that people make a big deal about tithing and giving your tithe to God and robbing God, and they will go against not only the principles of the Old Testament that were nailed to the cross, but also they will cause you to sin against God by forcing you to give. For God loves a cheerful giver. And so, David, I hope that is some encouragement to you to free you up from this control and bondage about the Old Testament teaching, which is described as being under bondage. And you can be free now to give as God has purposed you to give, as is outlined in 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So we appreciate so much that question. Hopefully that will be illuminating to some others as well and helpful that we might structure our worship based upon what the New Testament says. And so give us a call, 308-9564, or text us, 725-9283.
You set the theme. Appreciate all of y'all that have participated. We had a slew of questions come in all of a sudden, but I think we're caught up now. So if you have a question, you can call right now. Both lines are available. 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we are happy to be able to get your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. If you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283, and we will have the question, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. We appreciate everyone that is listening. We want you to be aware of one of the things that is often overlooked in the religious world around us that is of great importance is how to get into Christ. Many times, Romans chapter 10 and verse 10 is the verse 9 and 10 is the verses that are used to instruct someone God. And those two verses mention belief and confession. Well, even the devil believes and the demons confess. So there has to be more to that than just those verses. And that's exactly right. Because it's more than just belief. It's more than confession. It is also including repentance. Repentance must be involved. Jesus says in Luke 13:3, repent or you shall all likewise perish. On the day of Pentecost, when the Christians came together for the very first time, when they became children of God, was my phone, my mic was off?
Yes.
Oh my, okay, hopefully everyone heard us. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. But the Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, we that is a confusion of today in the religious world. We've got to make certain that we find the whole truth. And thus we're able to be able to show ourselves approved unto God. In Acts, I was saying in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, that repentance is also necessary in addition to belief and confession. And that is often overlooked in some of the churches because they say, as long as you believe, that's all that's necessary. You can continue your lifestyle and continue in whatever situation that you are in. Well, that's just not so. They've got to repent. And that repentance must be generated from a godly sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10 brings out. So we've got to make certain that we have repentance from a godly sorrow. But ladies and gentlemen, even then, we are still not in Christ Jesus. It also, what is necessary, is mentioned in Romans as well, chapter 6, verse 3, where after one believes, they repent from a godly sorrow, they confess. It says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. Ladies and gentlemen, that too is necessary for salvation. And it must be motivated by faith. That is something that is often left out in the religious world. And you know who is very happy about that. He thinks that I can get all of these good, moral, upright people running around the world thinking that they're saved when they are still in their sins. Oh, I was there. Steve, were you there?
I was there.
Laron, you were there. Every one of us here in this audience were there at one point, and we were not hearing the whole truth. We have got to follow the whole truth and nothing but the truth, not just a partial truth. And so Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7 makes it very clear that baptism also for the remission of sins to be added unto Christ is necessary for salvation. Yes, we must believe. Yes, we must repent. Yes, we must confess. But unless we die with Christ in baptism, buried with him, then we are not in Christ Jesus. You might think, well, I've never heard that before. Well, it's been there the whole time, and that's a shame that so many people have never heard those things. And so why not get the Bible Correspondence course to you in the mail this week? We want to send it to you. One of the lessons that we will be sending to you goes through the whole chapter of Romans chapter 6, and thus you're able to see what difference there is between what God says versus what most churches are saying. Ladies and gentlemen, don't leave this life without knowing this and obeying it. Get this course in the mail to you, even this week. 553-5157, call right now and we'll get it in the mail to you. Don't leave life without it. Now, if you've already enrolled in the course, go ahead and call in your questions, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We're down to our last segment, and I want you to know, and we want you to know, that everyone's here with associated with this program really, really appreciates the fact that you listen and that you call in questions and that you are concerned enough about the words of life that you are reading it and you've got some questions about it. And you share those with us, and it tickles us to no end to be able to enjoy a Bible study with you. And by the way, we want you to know about an event that is coming up that comes up every year, and that's the Flower Town Festival, and we're going to be there, our booth, Let the Bible Speak. We invite you to come back and come by and see us We've got a live caller, so we're going to go right to that right now.
Yeah, and ladies and gentlemen, don't forget about the Flower Town Festival. We will be there on Main Street and come by and see us. We have Robert standing by live to ask a question about the birth of Christ. Is that correct?
Yes, good evening. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you.
I've kind of asked this question before, but I didn't really get clarity on it. Not from you, but I'm just saying, satisfy me. When Jesus was born, or prior to Jesus being born, the wise man, which you call Magi, was notified about the star that was going to appear. Who was that person that sent them the word? And that's my first question. And then when they traveled, did they get there as Hollywood say they got there? Or if they didn't get there as Hollywood say they got there, how long was it? And were they protected by God during the travel to that far journey? And I'm gonna get off of the phone and listen to your response, because
okay.
I like to hear it over the radio.
All right. Well, thank you, Robert. We sure do appreciate that. There's three questions, and so we'll deal with those first.
Sorry to so many at you, but I'm just okay. Trying to clarify that time frame.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We appreciate it. I'll go with the first one, and we'll just go back and forth. All right. First question is, were they magi? That's short for magician, and again, that's a little misleading. They were astrologers. They studied the stars, and so when they noticed the extra star in the sky, that was something that they would have noticed immediately, because that was what they did. They studied the stars, and that was part of their description there, and that would be they're called wise men in the English Bible, but when you go back to the original language, it's the idea of magi, and that is defined as the idea of astrologers. They studied the stars, and they followed that star because of its prominence, and there is where they found Jesus. And so,
yeah, the second part of that, and it's interesting, Robert, that the shepherd's visit is in Luke's account, the magi is in Matthew's account. And so when the Magi come, they're asking, you know, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? And King Herod heard it in verse 3, and they were all concerned about it and wanted to know where the Christ was to be born. And it went to the prophets, and the prophets knew, because God had prophesied that in verse 5 and 6 of Matthew chapter 2. And then verse 7, the Herod secretly called the Magi and ascertained from them the time the star had appeared. I'm sorry, I'm reading from a New American Standard, so it may not read exactly like yours, so I'm going to switch real quickly and get to that so it'll make more sense to you. So in verse 7, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. So that's your second part of your question, Robert. And in verse 8, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go search carefully for the young child. When you have found him, bring him back to me, and that I may come and worship him also. Well, Herod was, you know, not being real honest about that. And so the wise men, were warned not to go back. Verse 12, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. Well, then Herod, he was angry about this. Verse 16, and then he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all his districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Okay, so we noticed that verse in where he ascertained from them or determined from them in verse, that's verse 7, mm-hmm. what time the star appeared. And then when they didn't come back, then he was going to get rid of that child. And so basing his decision on how old of a child should be killed, he based that off the time the wise men had told him. So it was at some period of time, at mm-hmm. least 2 years.
Yeah, yeah, around 2 years or under. So that's something that's why he killed all those children 2 years and under. And so there you got the – so
Hollywood.
Ain't right. Yeah, surprise, surprise.
Yeah. And in fact, it's interesting. You see the nativities. You got wise men there and the shepherds.
Yeah.
And they weren't there at the same time.
No, they weren't. And So you see that Hollywood doesn't get it right, and they're just out to get people to the box office to pay the money. And so that's why many times. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, there is the movies coming up here soon over the holidays coming up. And please do not take those things as fact in God's word. Go to the Bible and see these things for yourself. The Bible is a lot more exciting than what you can see in the Bible depictions that Hollywood comes up with. They try their best to make it spectacular, but the Bible, once you read it for yourself and see it, it's a whole lot more exciting. And that's on everything. The only movie that has come out of Hollywood that I can think of that has been even close to what the Bible says was The Passion of the Christ. And that's the only one of all the hundreds of movies that has even come close to the Bible's rendition. So please don't listen to those things. Just go to the Bible for yourself. Robert, I know you'll do that, and we sure do appreciate your question very much.
Larry just said something my kids say all the time. They'll read a book, then there comes out a movie about it, and they come home somewhat disgusted and said, the book is better.
Yes.
The book's always better.
Yes, and that's especially true when it comes to this book.
Yeah.
You're exactly right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we want you to know how much we appreciate your participation in today's broadcast. We do want you to be aware of the Flower Town Festival is coming up this coming weekend. And so we want you to be aware that we're going to be there, and we would love to meet you face-to-face. And so we'll be up close to City Hall. There are town halls, so it won't be too far down the street. And I think, as you go down the street, we'll be on the left side. And so don't miss out on coming to our booth. You'll see the banner above it says Dial a Bible Study or Let the Bible Speak. We'd love to meet you face-to-face, and we would be glad to. If you have been listening for more than 5 years, we'll even have a special treat for you. So make certain that you'll come by and meet us. We would love to meet you, and we'll be glad to serve you there in person and be glad to meet you in person. We look forward to that. So don't miss out on it. We'll be there Friday and Saturday, not on the Lord's Day, but Friday and Saturday. So don't miss out on that this coming Friday and Saturday at the Flower Town Festival. We want to thank everyone that has participated today and your questions, and those of you that have enrolled in the Bible Correspondence courses. By the way, it's not too late. If you have been intrigued enough to find and to tune in and join us today and listen, please be intrigued enough, or at least curious enough, to get into the Bible for yourself. Why not call 553-5157 and enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course? It is something that is absolutely free. It will send you to the Bible to find the answers. It's very professionally done, and we're glad to be able to share it with you. Absolutely free. 553-5157, and you can get right to the point to where you can enroll immediately when you call. And you leave your name and address and phone number, and we're glad to be able to send this to you free. 553-5157. And we only have a couple of more minutes, so let me encourage you to also look at our website and download the materials that we offer there, which is at www.BibleAlone.com. BibleAlone.com. And if you have friends or relatives that live in other parts of the world, tell them about this broadcast and encourage them to tune in through their smartphone, the TuneIn Radio. They can join us each week, and we will be glad to also have their questions sent into us, either text into us or call. Plus, you can listen to previous broadcast programs. So if this is just ringing your bell that you have just gotten some answers that you really do appreciate, there's a whole lot more that you can listen to on our website. It's up to date right now, and you can download these programs and listen to them anytime you want to. Plus, you can pause them, look up the scripture for yourself, and then continue on. That's one added benefit to listen to pre-recorded programs. So don't miss out on this. Again, the website is www.BibleAlone.com, and we would be glad to send to share everything that we have with you. We've talked about tithing today. We've talked about the names of Jesus, and maybe I ought to put something on our website about that as well. There's a lot that could be said about the various names and titles and positions and honorariums of Jesus, and there are many indeed that we might better get to know him and let the truth be in our hearts, and he can mold us and make us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today, and we hope and pray that you have received a blessing as we've gone to the Bible, as we've looked into God's Word, as we've let God answer the questions that pertain to life and godliness. We want to say thank you. Tune in next week as we let the Bible speak.